CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's a great pleasure to welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, the author, Colonel Jeff McCausland, of the book Battle Tested, Gettysburg Leadership Lessons for 21st Century Leaders. We step aside a moment from Jeff's analysis for CBS News of the 21st century contest, and we wander into the events of July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1863, the center of the battle between the Confederacy and the Union. 25 battles, Jeff informs us, are the battle stars of the United States military remembering the Civil War. Gettysburg is number 13, right in the middle. We begin with a romantic character named John Buford, who spurns the uniform of the U.S. cavalry. He was regular cavalry before the war, and rides in on June 30th to the crossroads town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Jeff, congratulations. Your book is wonderful to experience because you're putting together lessons here in the 21st century that are illustrated with decisions made in the heat of battle with unknown forces without our communication system in 1863. John Buford is a cavalry leader of 2,600 men that day. Why is he in Gettysburg? What is he looking for? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Well, first of all, John, thank you very much. It's a great honor and pleasure with you. What John Buford is doing is he is, if you will, screening the advance of the Union Army that is coming up. Don't forget that the Confederates had sort of stolen a march on the Yankees when they crossed the Rappahannock River, crossed the Appalachians, and head north up the Shenandoah Valley, surprising the commander at the time, Joe Hooker, who suddenly looks across the river and Lee is gone. And so then Hooker takes off and is chasing him. So this battle unfolds in Gettysburg, which is fascinating, is the Confederates will enter Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, coming from the north, from the west, and from the southwest, and the Union Army will actually come up from the south. So as they're advancing north towards Gettysburg, Buford, commander of cavalry, is out front. He is screening the left wing of the Union Army, which is commanded by a guy by the name of John Reynolds. And his job is a couple of things. One is to find the enemy, identify the enemy and what the enemy intends to do, and then also identify the key terrain in the area. So as he enters Gettysburg, obviously the first thing he knows is this is key terrain because there's 9 different roads that pass through the city of Gettysburg in that particular part of Pennsylvania. And while there are a lot of myths that the Confederate Army will advance on Gettysburg looking for shoes and the like, what it really boils down to is when Robert E. Lee receives word that the Union Army has crossed the Potomac and now is closer to his forces than he thought, he sends out an order for his battalion army, his particular army, to consolidate at Gettysburg, and the road network allows that to be a convenient way to come. So it's key terrain, and then as he moves just to the west of the town, on the ridge lines at Seminary Ridge and McPherson's Ridge, he can actually view off in the distance by binoculars Confederate patrols out there that are patrolling towards South Mountain, and he gets reports from different scouts he sent out, from civilians and others, that the Confederates are in force to the west of the city of Gettysburg. And he also gets additional reports that there may be more Confederates who are advancing south towards Gettysburg coming from Carlisle and Harrisburg.
We know now that A.P. Hill's corps is coming down from the west, from Cashtown. In the Civil War, heavy infantry was the battlefield preference. Heavy industry, infantry, and you were very careful about why this is true. It was the weapon they used, and it was the tactics they used. The heavy infantry of A.P. Hill, numbering in the thousands, there is no way Buford can stop them, but he makes a decision. He looks at the terrain, and this is what's a joy about your book, Jeff. We get to be in the 21st century criticizing the 19th century about a battle that we know what happens, but still there are decisions within it. Buford has a choice. He can leave. He can scatter. He's got 2,600 men, and he knows that heavy infantry is coming down from the west and probably from the north because he hears from townspeople that there's something advancing from Harrisburg. Or he can deploy and what you call time, space, and time. What are his choices and what are his decisions, Jeff?
Well, his choices are, and you're quite right, is to defend the town, pull way back, and look for an area outside of Gettysburg to screen for the Union Army to defend. Or he can use the ridge lines. And as you move in Gettysburg, coming from west to east, there's a series of ridge lines, the farthest west being McPherson's Ridge. Then there is Seminary Ridge. And finally, and he identifies the real key terrain immediately around the town, being Cemetery Ridge, anchored on the north by a Cemetery Hill and on the south by the two Round Tops, Little Round Top and Big Round Top. So he quickly analyzes with the astute eye of a cavalryman that that is the key terrain. So what he determines he can do, though he knows he's going to be somewhere between 6 and 8 to 1 outnumbered by A.P. Hill's advancing corps, is he can occupy the ridge line most to the west, that being McPherson's Ridge, and slow the Confederates down and trade space for time. And it's one of the key things that leaders do is manage time, whether in the 19th century or the 21st century. Time often the most inelastic resource that leaders have to deal with. He does another thing which is fascinating, and that, of course, is he deploys his cavalry on the ground. He gets them off their horses, which some might say, well, that deprives them of the one thing that makes them cavalry, which, of course, is mobility. But this allows him to do two things, and that is, one, he knows his men are better shots from the ground than on the back of a horse, number one, and technologically, the carbines they carry have a shorter range than the longer-range infantry muskets carried by the heavy infantry. But if you can put them on the ground, they can start to fire, and perhaps the Confederates will think that they are, in fact, infantry, and that will cause them to slow and move more cautiously, once again, preserving time. And he had learned that particular fact, frankly, from his time on the Western frontier fighting Native Americans. So he is somewhat, I would argue, showing a certain amount of initiative and innovation in terms of, first of all, this is where we're going to fight, and second of all, how he's going to go about it. And he does a third thing, which in terms of leadership I think is key, and that is he leads his boss. And I always say smart people lead their boss consciously, less smart people lead their boss unconsciously, and smart boss is one to be led. He sends his boss, John Reynolds, who's the commander of infantry, a message which basically says, I have occupied the terrain to the west of Gettysburg. The enemy is here in force. Get the infantry up here first thing in the morning. That's about the length of the message. Reynolds receives that. He could have called Buford back, had a decision briefing or had a committee meeting or whatever, but he trusts him. And so decisions can be made by the speed of trust between leader and subordinate, in this case from Reynolds to Buford. He gets that message. He knows John Buford. If my subordinate John Buford says that's what we should do, that's what we should do. And Reynolds orders his infantry to accelerate their march on the way to Gettysburg as Buford deploys his men along McPherson's Ridge with a small screening force to the north in case the reports he has of more Confederate infantry advancing from the north turn out to be true, which they do.
Yes, they do. There's heavy infantry coming from the west. There's heavy infantry coming from the north. Buford tells his 2,600 men, we're not going to be able to defeat them, but we can buy time. So he's buying time for John Reynolds and three corps, the 1st, the 3rd, and the 11th Corps of the Union Army. When we come back, John Reynolds. The book is Battle-Tested, Gettysburg Leadership Lessons for 21st Century Leaders. I'm speaking with the author, Jeff McCausland. Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.